Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Stories for Dark and Stormy Nights, Volume 5, Story 1. This happened a few years ago. Me and four buddies were camped out at a lake to go duck hunting in the morning. This lake was about 10 miles from a very small town out in the middle of nowhere, Montana. Besides the town and the lake, there was nothing for 50 miles in any direction. We were sitting around the fire, having a couple of beers. I had three, but I wasn't drunk, when I heard a truck on the ridge above the lake 200 yards away, and this was the only road in. There was a full moon, so I could see the truck. It was blacked out, no lights on, so I couldn't see the people in it. I turned to my best friend and asked if he noticed the truck, and he said he had. The other guys were too drunk, basically just talking loudly to each other. Me and my friend watched the truck for about 10 minutes. They didn't move. We discussed if it could be a cop or fish and game, but that made no sense at midnight, 50 miles from any major town. It was also a relatively unknown lake, and no other hunters went out there. Suddenly, I saw the cab light come on and saw two guys in the truck. It could make out a third over the cab, standing in the bed. This definitely made me nervous, especially when I saw the two in the truck pass night vision goggles back and forth. Saw the orange light when they had the cab light off. Me and my friend turned to our drunk buddies and told them what was going on. We then decided to go nonchalantly and load our guns, lean them on the truck, and sit back at the fire. The entire time I had a bad feeling in my gut about whoever was in the truck. The truck continued to sit there for another 15 minutes. We then decided to see if they were planning to come in when we went to sleep. So we rolled out our bedrolls around the fire and had the drunk guys pretend to go to sleep while me and my buddy set up in the bush line in case these guys were up to no good. After another 10 minutes, we heard the truck very slowly coasting down the hill. Me and my buddy waited for a bit in case the guys came into camp. After a while, we decided to circle our area and see if the guys were sneaking on us. We didn't find anything, so we decided to walk the entire area, the only places the truck could be. We never found the truck. It never went back up the hill either. We would have seen and heard it. To this day, I still have no idea what those guys were up to, but I feel like they were stalking us. When we drove through the town on the way in, we were definitely seen and got the mean mug from several people. I have no idea how the truck got out of there either. I didn't sleep at all that night. Story number two. This happened over 10 years ago. It was me and my dad, and we were camping out at a 2,000 plus acre conservation area. It was my first time camping. And we got there kind of late, but we set up quickly and made dinner, hot dogs, and a can of black-eyed peas. Now, the campground isn't that far into the woods. In fact, depending on where you pitch your tent, you can actually peek out of your tent and see the parking lot and the beginning of the trail. As we were eating, it was just starting to get dark, and I noticed the van pull into the parking lot. Not creepy at all. A lot of people come out late to this place when it's a little cooler. But after only a few minutes, the van leaves. We brushed our teeth and crawled into our tent. My dad, of course, fell asleep instantly, while I stayed up for a while listening to a whippoorwill. I think it was around midnight when I suddenly heard footsteps coming towards our tent. They definitely didn't sound like animal footsteps, so I shook my dad awake. When they sounded like they were circling the tent, my dad pulled out the .45 and I grabbed a K-bar and a buck knife. I would have much preferred a .45 for myself. My dad decided that we should burst out of the tent and confront whoever or whatever it was. So strapping headlights on, we popped out and shone everywhere. The footsteps had stopped, and there was nothing. We even shot up in the trees to see if whatever it was had crawled up there, and we did a patrol around the campground. There was nothing. We couldn't tell if there were any footprints because the ground was covered in loose leaf litter. With no other choice, we went back inside the tent. He fell asleep instantly again. I sat there awake with my knives beside me, and around 3 a.m., I heard a distant gunshot. I couldn't tell how far away it was, but I shook my dad awake again. He shrugged it off and went back to sleep. Needless to say, I didn't sleep at all that night. In the morning, I just wanted to pack up and go home. My dad was kind of mad because he wanted to stay for more than one night, but I was tired after not sleeping all night, and I really didn't like the thought of the footsteps coming back. We did hike for a little bit, though, me dragging behind. Part of the trail crossed some power lines. When we were returning from our hike and crossing the power lines again, there was a helicopter flying low, scanning the area. We got back to the campground, packed up, and left. When we got home and I crawled into my nice comfy bed at the end of the day, my mom came in and told me what was on the news, that there was a report of a murder over a marijuana stash at a farm not far from where we were camping. Yep, that was a great first camping trip. My next story takes place in the same conservation area where me and my dad were camping. This happened a few months later. This one's pretty creepy, in my opinion. And you might think it's made up. And I don't know if it's any use saying I didn't make it up because it sounds so unreal. Here it goes. The trail that we usually take passes right by this old hunting cabin that is no longer in use and actually may be destroyed in the future. Me and my dad love this old cabin, and we always like to go inside and check it out when we were hiking out there. Anyway, we're hiking and we come to the cabin. We went inside to check it out as usual. Inside the cabin, there is a small second-story loft with an old bed and a dresser. My dad wanted to check this out, but there was no way up there as the ladder that led up there had been removed. So he stepped up on the old bunk bed to try and get a better view. I handed him my camera so he could film and zoom in to get a better view. He filmed for a little bit, and then he handed me my camera. I took it from him and turned it off. Now, let me describe my dad in the position that he was in. He has a beard and is wearing a plain white t-shirt and a dirty old straw cowboy hat that day. He was standing on the bunk bed, holding on to the rail with one hand and had my camera in the other. Later, when we got home, I uploaded the pictures and videos we had taken that day from my camera to my computer. I watched the video that my dad had taken trying to film the loft in the cabin. In the video, after he handed the camera back to me and I turned it off shortly after, I noticed something on the side of the screen during the last quarter second of the video. I replayed the video, paying close attention to the side of the screen. Sure enough, it wasn't my eyes. Something popped in from the side of the screen with incredible speed. I got excited thinking I'd captured a ghost on film. I replayed it again and this time managed to pause it. Keep in mind that whatever this thing was, it popped up in the last quarter second of the video, right before I turned the camera off. So it was hard trying to pause it at the right time to get a good look. Anyway, I managed to pause it on whatever the thing was, and it shocked me. It was a blurry figure. Only the neck and head were visible, and it was also sideways, like somebody had popped their head in front of the camera. Now, here's the creepy part. It looked exactly like my dad. This ghost appeared to have a beard and a straw cowboy hat. It was blurry, but you could tell what it was. There was no way this could have been a reflection of my dad. Now, I had pointed my camera at the windows just as I had turned it off, but it was dark inside the cabin, and the sunlight from the outside was washed out on the camera, so my dad's reflection couldn't have been seen. There was nothing for something to be reflected on over there. Also, my dad was staying still. He was standing on the bunk bed at this exact time. And also again, this blurry figure popped in sideways on the side of the screen extremely fast. My dad was standing completely still on the bunk bed, and he didn't get in front of the camera. I had everybody in the house look at the video, and nobody knew what to think of it. Was there a ghost in the cabin trying to take the form of my dad? Like I said, it sounds unreal. I still have the video. And every once in a while, I take a look at it, just to remind myself that things like this do exist. Next story. A buddy and I took our first backpacking trip many years ago. We shopped the army surplus, mail order, and everywhere we could find what we wanted. There was no internet, so we were pretty much up to our own ingenuity for equipment. We drove to Northwest Arkansas for a hike 11 miles into a wilderness area. We each had our own tents, and we were feeling pretty proud of ourselves after hiking in, pitching our tents, and fixing dinner. It started raining after dinner, so we retired to our respective tents. It continued to rain. Not a downpour, but a nice, steady, good sleeping rain. I had my back to the side of the tent and was in a restful sleep when I heard a snap as if something broke a stick stepping on it. I woke and listened carefully. The next thing I felt was a paw on my hip. It felt about half as big as my right butt. I froze. Then I felt a nose starting at the paw and moving up my back to my neck. I could hear it sniffing. I didn't breathe or move a muscle. I think I even stopped my heart. I wanted to be as much like a log in the forest as I could. Finally, it moved on. I never found out what it was. The rain had washed all the footprints away by morning. Needless to say, I didn't sleep the rest of the night. When we got up, the little stream we waded across to get to our campsite had turned into a raging river with huge logs floating down it. There was no way we could cross. We hiked to the mountain ridge and followed along the river. We walked an entire day. At dark, we set up camp using a space blanket to reflect the heat from the fire. The next morning, we found a trail coming out at the opposite end from where we had parked. Fortunately, the heavy rains had the forest rangers patrolling, looking for wet hikers with crazed eyes. They drove us back to our car. We'd hoped our first backpacking trip would be a learning experience. I think we observed much more than we anticipated. Next story. There were several of us, all with our own tents. The day was bright and warm, but come night, there was a storm. Being the idiot that I was, I managed to set up in what was to become a rather large puddle. It was a miserable night, but I managed to set up a little circle dam of material, and the water pooled only at the edge, with me curled up in the middle like a fetus clutching my bag. I must have fallen asleep, though. I can't think when or imagine that I did with the cold and wet I was dealing with. But when it all happened, I felt very mentally hazy while simultaneously very, very awake. It was an odd sensation for sure. I was suddenly frozen to the spot, facing away from the closed flap, when my sight seemed to pull away from my own body, as if I could watch what happened. I was struck with panic and the flap open from the top corner as if torn, and in my third-person mind's eye, I could see something that, for the purpose of this recollection, I'll call demonic. It was mostly black, with what seemed a shimmer of crimson red trying to reflect through it. It had two large horns arcing parallel from the back of its head. It was maybe 5 feet arched over, but about 7 feet, I'd guess, if it were to stand up straight. It had a very tiny waist and a large bony rib cage, but clearly muscular, as if the skeleton of a really tall guy was stuffed into the body of a muscular small guy and everything settled into place. The mouth was lipless, and the eyes were white. I continued to lay there paralyzed, with my eyes wide open, still aware of a dual, third-person view of the event, struggling to move my hands, feet, anything really. The creature got closer and reached for the middle of my back, with his hand placed together back to back, as if to part curtains, and I suddenly knew with certainty that it wanted to be inside me and to wear me as a meat suit. I was almost sure the skin of my back was parting right down the spine. Oddly, it felt exactly the spot I had compressed at my 10th and 11th vertebrae in a fall, and my panic hit an incredible high. It was then that my hand moved and I was fully back in my body, and from moving my hand, I moved my arm, and as soon as I had enough movement, back in my body. I spun around to see nothing but an open flap and a stormy night sky. I'm an incredibly skeptical person, and I reasoned this to death enough that I could convince myself to sleep with the lights off again. But at the back of my head, I still get twinges of fear that never existed before. I told my friends, who are all skeptics as well, all about it, and they reasoned along with me. But I'll never forget how real it was to me. And to this day, I don't know what it was. Next story. We moved into a new development when I was 5, and my little brother and I shared a room until I hit my junior high years. This development was out in the boonies, pretty country at the time. It's all suburbs now, near Puyallup, Washington, out towards Graham, Eatonville area. Our house was at the end of a street in a cul-de-sac. The street ran directly north and my bedroom faced north down the street, and my bed was under the window on the northwest side of the room, my brother on the opposite corner in the northeast with a desk between us. I must have been between 8 and 10 at the time. I can't really remember my age, but I do remember exactly what happened this specific night. It was late summer, right before school started, and I was having trouble sleeping. It was around 1:30 or 2 a.m., and I had the feeling of being watched, even though the slab blinds were closed and it was pitch black in the room. I just remember tossing and turning and not feeling normal. Curiosity got the best of me, and I garnered up the cojones to have a peek through the slats of the blinds. What I saw, I will always remember. Due north was a silver cylindrical shaped object hovering in the sky with blinking amber, bluish, purple, and silvery lights. Our house was in a flight path for the McCourty Air Force Base, and I was used to seeing C-130s and C-141 aircraft doing runs over the house. This was not an aircraft of this world. From what I could tell, it was a 2 to 4 miles out. From my memory, it could have been more or less than about 3,000 to 5,000 feet in altitude. I remember just being in awe, not scared, but a little nervous. It was in direct line of sight of my house, and though it was far out, it seemed large, and I could see it with great detail. It was a clear late summer night, stars in the sky. I grabbed a pencil off my desk near my bed and drew a picture of it under the windowsill and a description. I watched it for a few more minutes before I ran to my parents' room and woke my dad to come see. He never believed me anyway and chalked it up to an over-imaginative kid's mind. But by the time he went, it had gone. I never saw anything like that again, around there or anywhere else. Years later, my dad was remodeling the house and replaced the window in my old room. He called me and told me he found my detailed little drawing in the description. We laughed about it, but I think right then, he did believe me a little bit more. Next story. This story comes by way of one of my best friends. He said before this, he did not believe in spirits or ghosts, specters, or entities of any type. He is a firm believer, though, after this. He lived in a two-story townhouse in Monterey, California, and had the master bedroom with attached balcony. It was on the second story, and he usually left the door open so his girlfriend's cat could come and go. One night, they were sleeping, and he feels something jar the bed, and pressure like something is sitting at the foot of the bed. He kicked at it, thinking it was the cat, and nothing was there. No biggie. It probably just jumped off. It happened like that for a week before things progressed. He was sleeping alone one night, and said he woke up from a dead sleep, wide-eyed and paralyzed, unable to move, and the bed started shaking, vibrating like crazy. It lasted a few seconds, then stopped. He said he slowly was able to move again and then fell back asleep, but totally spilled his guts out to us about it the next day. This went on for a while as well, and it got worse. His girlfriend experienced this as well, though not the paralysis. He started seeing an entity in the room and feeling like the room froze over every time. Every time it was the same, eyes wide open and body paralyzed, like he was snapped awake any side in the room, usually in one of the corners. It would knock hats off his hat rack and things off his dresser. The entity was like negative light, dark, thin, and stood over 7 feet tall, almost touching the 8-foot ceiling. His words were, "It just looked evil, like an old-school movie bad guy in a trench coat and fedora, but tall, skinny, and just evil, malicious-like." He remembered one night, the worst night, being paralyzed with the entity in the room, and then he couldn't breathe, like it was sitting on my chest and had its hands on my throat. He said he went out of consciousness and then woke up to the bright morning light. His hats were on the ground and other trinkets on the floor that were on the dresser the night before. The entity visited him regularly until he moved, not too long after his first encounter. My friend is a big guy, a high-line lineman, and is one of the most honest dudes I know. He doesn't scare easily, and this makes him shudder to talk about it. When we get it out of him, usually it takes a few drinks for him to tell that story. He gets all sweaty and pale and shakes when he talks about it. It truly freaked him out. Other people that lived in that house said they saw things move, heard doors slam and crazy noises. He was the only one that experienced a physical encounter. The old lady that lived in the house right before they did died in the master bedroom. That's how he ended up getting that place. It was rented out right after her death. They partied a lot, and apparently she didn't like it. Next story. This was in the deep woods of Dallas, Texas. Well, I do have two big pecan trees in the backyard. My wife had taken our son to visit my brother's family on their ranch. I took that as an opportunity to stay late at the office and get ahead of the paper chase. I got home about 9:30 p.m. and put my key in the door. It opened without my turning the latch. We never leave the door unlocked, so I started checking out the house. I went from room to room, and nothing was out of place. Then I noticed the door to the garage was open. I carefully checked the garage and found it as I had left it. I just assumed that I had worked a bit too late and my wife had been careless locking up, as uncharacteristic as that was. After making sure all the doors were locked, I settled down in bed. Then I heard a rattling that sounded like someone had tossed a baseball bat in the bathtub. I rolled over to grab my pistol and it was gone. Crap, I was a goner. My only hope was that my wife had moved it without telling me. Another unusual thing for her to do. I quietly picked up the phone and called her at my brother's. I asked in the quietest whisper I could muster, "Where did you put my gun?" "What?" was her reply. I tried again a bit louder, only to get another "What?" In desperation, I said in the loudest whisper I could, "Bang, bang." I think she got it because she told me she had moved it while dusting. Gun in hand, shaking and frustrated, I again checked out every room in the house. None of the doors had been opened. Everything was in place. No boogeyman was to be found. I didn't sleep much that night. Maybe it was because a revolver doesn't make a very good pillow. That mystery is still unsolved. Things really do go bump in the night. Next story. My father and I go deer hunting in northern Michigan. Our family has a small cabin up there. One of the places we go is called the Old Sheep Ranch because back in the early 1900s, there was a sheep farm out there. It's state property now, nothing left of the buildings or anything. On one side of the area, I've always gotten weird feelings. I was out there hunting and just felt like something was angry at my presence. It was like a quiet scream saying, "Get out!" I was in my mid-20s, used to being outdoors, and carrying a .30-06 semi-auto. There was no reason for me to get scared out there, but I felt raw fear. I ended up going back to the truck early. The sun was still up, and I had to stop myself from running. My dad came in early too. He said something didn't feel right. That's a lot coming from my dad. He stays out hunting until the stars come out. We never hunted that area of the sheep ranch again. Last year, I was up at the cabin and decided to go out there again, just to check it out. To get there, you take a dirt road for a few miles, then it becomes a two-track for another mile or so. A little ways down the two-track, there was a huge puddle. It went all the way across the trail and 30 feet or more down the trail. I tried it, but it turned out to be a deep hole, and there was no way I wanted to get my truck stuck out in that area. As I was turning the truck around, I noticed a guy on a bicycle glaring at me. He is standing right where the two tracks meet the dirt road. He was dressed oddly, and the bike was very old. He wasn't Amish or Mennonite, but the clothing was kind of similar. Big Coke bottle glasses and a long, dirty beard. The guy just kept glaring as I drove up to him. He was so odd-looking that I took a picture of him as I drove past. I just barely missed him with my passenger side mirror. He was right in the way. He started following me. I'm doing 10 or 15 miles an hour driving and trying to bring the picture up to see if I captured how creepy he was. The guy is right behind me. So I sped up a bit. 20 miles per hour is kind of fast for the bumpy road, but he's still there behind me. Then I looked at the picture. He was not in it. My camera makes a shutter sound when it takes a picture, and the guy was right at my passenger side window when it took the picture. There was no guy in the picture. That's when I dropped the hammer and took off. Next story. Years ago, when I was younger, I was bow hunting in a new area of my tree stand. It's not too secluded, but off the road a bit. The area is in farm country in Jackson, Michigan. The stand was on the back side of a swamp. I had to cross a stream and walk through some thick, tall grass to get back to it. My stand was on the edge of a small wooded lot with a fence line and an old fence about 20 yards in front of me. The deer would use it as a runway, kind of a bottleneck area. I got back kind of late only to stand a few hours. At the end of the hunt, things got really quiet. Too quiet. Seemed like all of a sudden it was starting to get dark, but there was still good hunting light. There was a damp chill in the air, and I remember an eerie fog started to form around the swamp as I was getting very damp and chilled. Something didn't seem right. I had an uneasy feeling about me, almost a gripping fear that just came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, I heard a blood-curdling scream across the thick swamp growth in front of me, just where I was hunting. Never heard anything like that in the woods. I was gripped with fear and decided it would be a long walk back to the car, so I'd better leave now after hearing. And before I knew it, I was on my way. I got about 20 feet from the stand, and again, I heard it. Now, I'm starting to get scared, and I started to pick up the pace, and I'm making all kind of noises myself, tripping and stumbling through the thick swamp grass, and I'm breathing hard, and I've got my bow and stuff, and it's almost dark. The screams were now about every 5 minutes, as if this thing is trying to get a fix on my position. And it was downwind of me, and it seemed like it was trying to get ahead of me and get between me and the car. This was a guttural, almost cougar-like scream, very crazy. It had me scared until I finally made it to the car and got the hell out of there. I'd never heard a scream like that in the woods, and I hope I never do again. Someone told me cows make that noise giving birth to calves, but this noise was coming from the side to where I was at, and it seemed like it was moving with me, just ahead of me, and getting closer. After some 30 years of deer hunting, mostly by myself, I never heard anything like it in the wild again. Next story. This is not my story I'm going to tell, but my mother-in-law's. She and my father-in-law met in Hawaii, where they both served during World War II. So naturally, they went back every few years, especially to celebrate special anniversaries. My mother-in-law particularly loves Hawaii, which resonates to her like a second home. Past life experience or something. Anyway, at 93, she still dances hula with a group of ladies who perform at county fairs and community centers and the like. So, on one of their last trips to Hawaii before my father-in-law died, they were driving across a large lava bed. It was away from the city, sort of out there in the middle of nowhere on the side of the volcano. Up ahead of them on the road were two monks wearing long robes. My father-in-law was driving and he wanted to stop and give the two monks a ride. My mother-in-law says that the hair stood up on her arms and head, and she suddenly became very afraid. "No, Bob, don't stop," she said. My father-in-law started to argue with her because, after all, these were monks stranded in a barren lava field, and good God-fearing people have a responsibility to help out folks who have dedicated their lives to God, right? But my mother-in-law was having none of it. "No, Bob, don't stop for them. Don't slow down. There's something wrong about them." So my father-in-law kept driving, and when he was a few hundred feet past the monks, my mother-in-law looked back. "Look in the mirror, Bob," she said. He did, just to see that the monks had vanished. Next story. Originally started life in town and grew up in a poor section of it at that. My dad had started a new business when I was three, and it really took off. So he and my mom built a new home out in the country near both of my farming grandparents. I've been in the woods of that area my whole life and knew them very well. When I was about 10 or 12 years old, me and my twin brother were off exploring the woods behind their house. This was summer, and after an exciting afternoon of running around and exploring, we were making our way out of the woods when me and him both stopped and just looked at each other. We were following an old cow trail that had about 20 more yards to walk before we were in the last clearing. I can't describe the feeling, but it made me feel very afraid. A couple of seconds go by, and me and my twin brother just look at each other when this scream, like I have never heard before, lets out. At the same time, this monster pine tree starts to shake like something is trying to rip it out of the ground. I was in the lead and yelled, "Run!" And we just booked it as fast as we could go and headed back to the house. Neither my mom or dad believed us, but they still couldn't tell us what happened. Now, my other story has to do when I'm a little bit older. And I grew up with a very tight-knit group of friends, and we were always doing something together. We started playing a game of what we called search and destroy. Two people are hunters, and the rest go and hide in the yard, around the house, or out in the woods, surrounding the house. We all lived out away from town and played on 10 acres most of the time. We would go all out with camo face paint and gear, and as I said, we really went out on this. Well, one night we're playing and I'm the hunter and I tell my friend to circle the house and try to spook people around, and I would catch them by surprise. When I'm out there by a wood stove and a stack of wood, and there's also a tree that's been cut off from the top and only about 6 or 7 feet tall is left, and it's wide enough around that I climbed up on top of it and I hunched down and had room left over. I thought it was out of the ordinary. No one would be looking up that high. Well, no one comes and I'm just sitting there listening. About 10 or 15 feet away is the fence line and right along the edge of the woods. I just start to hear what sounds like someone walking. Then it would take a few steps and do it again. I heard a whistle to the right side of the woods, and then I heard an answer to my left side. Now I'm thinking, what in the world could that be? No one is supposed to be on that side of the fence, as it does not belong to my friend's parents. I heard footfalls coming closer on both sides of me, and they start to get closer to the fence line. Then some more calls, and then it's getting closer. I freaked out, jumped off the stump, and hauled to the other side of the house. Fast forward an hour. Same game is going on. We're 2 acres south deep in the woods chasing some people when they cross the same fence line onto the other property. We follow them into a clearing and catch them. I ask if anyone else is with them and they say, no, sure. I walk through a tree line that follows along a creek bed into an old field just to make sure no one else is over there. I was not using a flashlight because it was a very full bright moon out and there was clear skies. Standing 10 feet from the creek bed in the field when movement catches my attention to the west, and I see someone walking with a purpose away from me. My first instinct is to yell out at them, thinking it's one of my friends making an escape. Somehow, something did not seem right. The walk was wrong, and they were much larger in height, and the body was much more filled out. A fear started to creep up on me, and I just stood there, quite not moving. I was ready to move. Then after 3 seconds, after I spotted this person, it stopped and it kind of raised its head like it was smelling the wind or listening to noise. Well, it kept on walking into the opposite tree line and I hightailed it back to my friends and never told a soul about 2 years later. My friends that lived there told me some weird stories about the goings on and that there is an area where Indians used to live. We eventually found out that there was old graves and a campsite that had many arrowheads and such. Instinct tells me that the first story was a mountain lion, even though there's not supposed to be any out in that area. Or what I really believe, that it was Bigfoot in both experiences.